Well, good evening. Enjoyed having the Walkers this morning. Pray for them. They're on the road. Should be back, I would think, in the 10 o'clock range. All right, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 33 to 37. We find ourselves this evening in that fourth iteration of our Lord Jesus in his words, "Ye have heard that it hath been said." Remember now, you go back to what we're memorizing in the Word of God. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying," now he's still preaching here. All the way back to the Beatitudes, he's still preaching. So he's gotten through the Beatitudes. He's gotten through the salt of the earth, the light of the world. He's talked about he didn't come to destroy the law of the prophets. He came not to destroy, but to fulfill. And then he said, you need a better righteousness than what you've been taught. You need a better righteousness than what you have been seeing in your religious teachers and the scribes and the Pharisees. So now we find ourselves the fourth time he has said, ye have heard that it hath been said unto you. And he follows that with, of course, he talks about what they said. Now he follows with, but I say unto you, and that's his authority. Because he is the lawgiver, remember that. So, we find ourselves in verse 33. He says, again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all. Now, if you stop right there, it'd be pretty significant, right? If you said, don't swear at all. And there are some that actually take that position. But Jesus goes on, he says, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. And you start thinking right here, what do you mean swear by heaven or swear by the earth or next, neither by Jerusalem? For it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication among yourselves, between yourselves, be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings. Father, we pray that you would speak to us tonight as you did this morning, O God. Father, I pray that the precious saints of God that are here would, Father, listen to the word of God from me and whoever the preacher is, Father. Lord, I pray that we would be accountable before God on both sides of the pulpit. Father, we thank you that you've entrusted preachers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we would always handle it reverently and in truth. Father, we do pray for our brother and sister and Jonas and Joshua as they travel. I pray you'd bring them along safe. Bless us tonight. Be with Jessica and Mike. Be with Charlotte, who has the COVID. Be with those requests for prayer that we asked this morning. Father, help us this night, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So this evening, swearing or invoking or calling upon the name of God as a witness to your words or making an oath. Everybody knows what that is. Is this wrong? Is it wrong to swear? Now listen, you don't have to walk long out in the world, especially among young people. In fact, I thought about this today. You can hear little ones, they'll say, I swear to God. And you learn, you try and, I've asked myself, where did they get that from? Well, obviously they learned it from somewhere. So you'll hear people using God's name. So is it wrong to swear? That's the question. Is the Lord Jesus here strictly forbidding oaths and swearing? Is he doing that? Or is the Lord teaching us here that there are times when we may swear by his name? Are there times when we have? I'll tell you that I've sworn, I think, rightly. And I think when I was lost, there were many times when I did it wrong, where I used the name of the Lord, my God, in vain, which I think is a breach of the third commandment. Now, let us start off with what the people had heard. Jesus said, you've heard that it's been said. Let's start off with what they heard, what they understood, what they saw in their religious teachers, the scribes and the Pharisees, what they saw in the people that were to be pastoring them. He says, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. So what exactly does it mean to forswear yourself? Well, if you look it up, it's a pretty simple definition. It means to perjure yourself. It means to commit perjury. Everybody knows what perjury is. Now, you know, you can lie to me, and I can lie to you, out in public, but neither one of us is going to be charged with a crime or go to jail. We've sinned against God, which is worse. But if you go into a court, and you swear to tell the truth, and you lie, that's a punishable crime. It's called perjury. And if a witness perjures themselves under oath, then they could go to jail. Perjury further means, it's a law term, it's used in courts. Perjury further means to willfully lie after taking an oath to tell the truth about that very same thing that you just swore an oath. This is swearing falsely. That's what it means to forswear yourself. Jesus says, you have heard that it's been said. Now remember, he's still talking about what you've been heard, what you've heard. This is what's been said. And he says further, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Now, don't forget in this whole section in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus is exposing the scribes and Pharisees, isn't he? He's exposing their hypocrisy. He's exposing their false representation of the law of Moses. Jesus is teaching them what it looks like to actually fulfill the law. He's showing them in his perfect and sinless life. He's showing them what it looks like. And it's more than just what lies on the surface. Remember, we talked about that. We talked about that in adultery. We talked about that in murder. And so he's exposing how they falsely represented what a child of God should be and how they should live under the law of Moses. Don't forget what the Lord Jesus said back in verse 20, which leads right into these sections here, or this passage really to the end of the chapter. He said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case. Make sure you always look at those two words, in three words, in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So that's where we're at. So here's what I believe is going on here in regard to what people knew of swearing oaths. The fact is, it was grossly misrepresented by the scribes and Pharisees. Listen, brethren, they impulsively and rashly abused and misused oaths and swearing. You get that sense when Jesus said, don't swear by heaven, don't swear by the earth. Don't swear by Jerusalem. And I'll tell you, I still don't quite understand. How do you swear by Jerusalem? Well, they swore by Jerusalem. They swore by their own head. And so they misused these oaths. They swore by heaven, by earth, by Jerusalem, by their own head. But what I do understand is this. Heaven is God's throne. It's almost as if they excluded God's name out of their oaths so that they would not be as forceful, if you will. But Christ said, heaven is God's throne. So if you swear by heaven, you're bringing God's name into this thing. If you swear by the earth is God's footstool. So you're actually bringing God's name into this. Jerusalem is the city of the great king, and you, my friends, were created by God. See, they thought, I believe, they were okay because they did not swear by God's name. But the Lord Jesus said, if you swear by heaven, that's God's throne again. And as I just said, the earth is God's footstool, and Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Any way you cut it, beloved, they were dishonoring the name of God by their lighthearted or easy swearing, whatever you'd want to call it. Now, Exodus 20 and verse 7, the scripture says this. Just listen. You can go to Leviticus 19:12. We'll turn back to Exodus 20 and verse 7, and then we'll go to Leviticus. We know the third commandment is Exodus in chapter 20 and verse 7. Here the word of God says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. To misuse the name of God is to do that. Listen, you hear people saying, oh God, oh my God. They use the name Jesus Christ. You know, they use the name of our Lord and of our God. In blasphemy, irreverently, they dishonor his name. And the scripture says here, the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Swearing by God's name is to invoke the name of God, to call down God as a witness to what you are testifying of. And so the Lord will not hold him guiltless. Look at Leviticus 19:12. Just turn there. Leviticus 19:12. And I think this will open up when we go to Matthew 23. And we'll understand, I think, more how the scribes and Pharisees were swearing and what they were saying, actually. Look at 19:12 of Leviticus. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And so listen, beloved, just at the outset, be very careful about how you invoke the name of God. Now, it's not wrong to use the name of God, and we'll see that. I can't go to all the references, but I'm going to show you references of holy men of God that invoke the name of God and call God down as a witness to their words. So it's not wrong, and Jesus is not teaching us that it's wrong to swear. He's not teaching us that it's wrong to make an oath. But the scribes and Pharisees were swearing by anything. And in doing so, they were greatly dishonoring the name of God. Now go to Matthew 23:16. I think you'll understand a little better here. Matthew 23 and verse 16. Matthew 23:16. This is the chapter in which the Lord sternly rebukes the Pharisees and the scribes. 23:16, notice. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. Do you get that? You can swear by the temple, it's nothing. You can break that oath. Not a big deal. I mean, you get the gist of that here. He says, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. You better keep that oath. So you see, they distinguish between, that oath doesn't mean, that's nothing. Verse 17, you fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. Second instance, see that? It's nothing. And you see how these men were? But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. So you see that? Some oaths, no big deal. You can break it. It's not a big deal. Verse 19, you fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Verse 20, whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whosoever shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and him by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. So we get a better idea. It kind of opens up a little bit more of what the Lord is speaking of in the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus goes on after that, and he says, if you go back to Matthew 5, go back there. Here's what Jesus tells the people then. He says in verse 34, swear not at all, especially not after the example of the scribes and Pharisees. Don't swear like that. Throwing God's name around and swearing rashly and foolishly, though, beloved, is no new thing. Again, go out into the world and tune in your ears and listen. It won't be long before you hear people using God's name in vain, swearing by God's name when they should not. But now let's move a little further, and I ask you the question, and I already asked it, is it wrong to swear an oath before God? Is it wrong? If it is, then when I raised my right hand and swore my oath of enlistment to defend the President and the Constitution of the United States and the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, I sinned. I swore an oath. When you swear in, you raise your right hand and you swear that you'll defend this nation. Was that wrong? Listen, we read of men of God in the Holy Scriptures who swore oaths before God and called God to witness their words before men, which I do not believe is sin. Their oaths before God strengthened their words and promises to each other and before God. Now I'm just going to show you the examples. Look at Genesis 21 and 22. We'll start with Abraham. Go back to Genesis chapter 21. In all these examples, I want you to note these men of God were not rebuked by God. They were not corrected. They were not told, no, you shouldn't be doing this. But after we look at these examples, we'll look, I believe, at the proper times. Instances when we should swear an oath before God. Look at verse 21, 22. Genesis 21, 22. It came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. Verse 24, Abraham said, I will swear. I will swear. So there you have it. First instance of Abraham. Look at 22:15. This is after Abraham had offered Isaac on the mountains of Moriah. In verse 15, this oath comes out of heaven, brethren. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. He swore an oath. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. That came from heaven, brethren, an oath from heaven to Abraham. Now, I'm going to show you something in the book of Hebrews in a moment. In fact, go to Hebrews right now. Let me show you that. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6 and verse 13. And this refers directly to that promise. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, with an oath, by the way, and he says that, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater. That's us. We swear by the greater. We call God down as a witness to our words at times. And I would say cautiously and at limited times. Men swear, verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation between men is to them an end of all strife. See that? The oath, the swearing, gives weight to that testimony. I call God, and we'll see in a moment, Paul said, I call God as a witness to my soul. I lie not. That's calling God's name down. If you say that, you better not be lying, because you're invoking God's name. And so here, he says, men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Of course, he's talking about God confirming the promise of eternal life to us. Of course, it started back there with Abraham. Now go back to Genesis 24:1. Genesis 24:1. Do you remember when Abraham sent his servant out to find a wife for Isaac? It says in verse 1, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, which is what they did when they swore an oath. And he says, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Don't bring him back to that land. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, that is the Lord that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then shalt thou be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. A lot of oaths right there. Look at Isaiah 45:3. Let's go to Romans 1:9. We'll go to Isaiah 45:23 in a minute. The New Testament, a few references there. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. So we see that there are appropriate times to swear an oath. Romans 1:9, Paul says here, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." He called God's name as a witness that he prayed for the Roman believers. So he invoked the name of God there. 2 Corinthians 1:23. And this is why Jesus says in the end, and we'll look at that, he says, look, don't be so quick to swear. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Just tell the truth. 2 Corinthians 1:23, Paul says, "Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth." There may be a time, beloved, when you say something like that to someone, where you feel that God has pressed you to bring God down as a witness to your words. 11:31 of 2 Corinthians. 11:31. Somebody call you a liar? The Apostle Paul here says, "The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not." He knows. And then Galatians 1:20, the final. Galatians 1:20. "Now the things which I write unto you, behold," Paul says, "before God, I lie not." I lie not. Now, let me just show you some instances in which God speaks in this manner. Look at, actually, one instance I have is Isaiah 45:22. Look at that instance, and there are many more. Of course, we saw that one in Genesis, but Isaiah 45 and verse 22. Isaiah 45 and 22, and we saw that one in Genesis 22:16. But here, the scripture says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear." Every tongue shall swear. What will we swear? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, let me show you one more instance when the Lord Jesus Christ was in his sufferings, beginning to enter his sufferings, and he was brought before the high priest. You remember that scene? He's brought before the high priest, and the false witnesses came, and they were testifying falsely. They were lying about him. Look at Matthew 26:59. They were lying about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you remember, what did he do when they lied about him? He didn't utter a word. He held his peace. That is, he held his peace until something was said. 26:59, "Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him," Jesus was silent up to this point, "he said, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace. "And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus broke his silence. He said unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. When the high priest in verse 63 said, I adjure thee by the living God, that's the same as putting him under oath. It's like saying, I put you under oath before God that you tell me the truth. Jesus broke his silence. Jesus did not rebuke him for putting him under oath. Jesus simply answered in truth. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? I am. So, beloved, oaths are not wrong, but they are to be limited and entered into in matters of importance with all seriousness, understanding that we are invoking God's name. They are proper and right when taken solemnly and in matters of great importance. Listen, when they play the wedding march and you face your wife and you vow before God, you're calling God as a witness. These two, I've said, in wedding ceremonies, stand before God and these witnesses. And so, it's very important, beloved. The calling of God's name as a witness to our words, vows, and oaths ought never to be taken lightly. The normal or the norm for us in our conversations in the world needs to be to tell the truth. But there will be times when you will be called to swear an oath. But when we rashly and impulsively swear, we are dishonoring God's name. That's why Jesus said, swear not at all. Don't swear an oath if it's not solemn, serious, and necessary. Just tell the truth. Swear not at all. Let your yea be yea, and let your nay be nay. Let your conversation in your everyday life not be filled with swearing. You hear the world, brethren. Look, just go out into the world and perk your ears up tomorrow when you get into the public place where people are going to and fro. Listen to people converse. You go to restaurants. You hear young people, especially young people. You hear them, I swear to God, I swear to God. And they know nothing about God. They don't believe God. They don't love God. They don't worship God. And yet they swear to God. Listen, we'll be judged for every word spoken. Doesn't matter if we're a believer or not. Every idle word. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And especially for words when we have called God as a record upon our soul, and we've done it irreverently, and we've dishonored God. So let your conversation, beloved, in everyday life be entered into truthfully. When you say yes, mean yes. Just tell the truth. When you say no, mean no. Be careful on entering into oaths irreverently and so dishonoring God. And so back to our text, and we'll close. We'll read it one more time just as a recap for us. The Lord Jesus says, again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication, your conversings, your speech out in the world, let it be yea, yea, nay, nay. Let your yes mean yes, and let your no mean no. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil, comes from a wicked heart. Brethren, be so careful. Be so careful. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we ask for your blessings as we close the Word of God for the day. But I pray that we don't disengage from it, Lord. Father, I pray that what we have heard this morning would be cultivated into that good ground of our hearts, and what we have heard this evening would also, Father, be cultivated in the good ground of our hearts, Father. Lord, help us to pull out the weeds of sin. Help us to mortify the old man. Father, help us to examine ourselves in the light of the Holy Scriptures every day. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, may the entrance of thy words give us wisdom. Help us, Heavenly Father. Forgive us for our sins this day. Oh God, we know what a day is going to bring forth. Father, if it is your will, we will enter into a new work week and a new month. Lord, I pray that we would live every moment of our lives to honor and glorify thee. Father, be with those special requests, O Lord, that are before us. We think of our brother Kevin. We pray for him as he goes to the doctor and perhaps begins the treatments. Lord, we ask that you'd have your hand upon him. Lord, for grace, for strength, for healing, we lift him up to the throne of grace, that he and we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's a time of need, Father. We're crying out unto thee for our dear brother. And for all the Travis family. We pray for little Charlotte, Lord. We ask for your hand to be upon her. And Mike and Jess and the other kids. Pray that none of them get that virus, Lord. And Father, we just pray that you'd be with all of the saints of God. And Father, all of those that come and enter into this little place. And sit under the preaching of the Word of God. We pray that you would enlarge the borders of thy kingdom. Father, save sinners for your glory and honor. And Father, sanctify your people this night. We ask it in the highly exalted name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.